hidden light switch on here somewhere. I never can figure out where it's at. There it is. I know where it's at, but I just can't find it. Okay. I think the time has come that we came here for. And that's to hear our brother bring the Word of God to us. I don't think he's a stranger to any of us. He may be stranger than some of us, but he's not a stranger to any of us. Obviously, I've known my brother Randy for longer than I probably want to admit. But from the first time I ever met him to this day, he's been an inspiration to me. He's been an inspiration to me in his zealous attitude towards the gospel. And so I know he has a message for us tonight, and I'm going to sit down and shut up and let him give it to you. So, our brother Randy Sheldon.
I'm not sure this is all
right. I've got to turn it on. It's on. You're good.
Okay. Well, I want to thank all of the young people and all of those that participated in their gifts. And the scriptures tell me that every one of us is given a gift, and we saw a bunch of them here tonight. May you continue to do that. Not be ashamed, blessing the Lord, blessing other people because of your zeal and desire for the Lord. I want to say a couple of things before I get rolling here. Whatever I say, I don't want to lead you to believe that I'm this pompous, sinless person that's talking to you, a bunch of sinners. I want you to know that it's just like a man I used to work with, and boy, we got to thinking about this world that we're living in. We got to looking inside of ourselves and seeing what kind of human being we are. And he kind of, his shoulders slumped, and he sort of gasped right here, and he said, "Randy," he said, we need a Savior." And boy, that's a fact. And so I'm gonna try to hold forth the Word of God, and I'm gonna come down strong. But I want you to know that we're in this. We're working in this. We are in this boat together. And we're gonna sail it all the way. Another thing is that some of the things that I'm gonna talk about, I don't know, and none of us know, the divine mind of God. I can read and I can present to you what I've got. And there's promises, mega, big promises here. I don't understand why the Lord seemingly doesn't do everything that we want Him to do by answering prayers, by things that we see. Why did He do that and why didn't He fix this and so forth? But I want to declare what I read and what I have come to understand is God is strong. He's faithful, and He blesses His children, and He wants us to rise up in gratitude, rise up with a holy view. I am a child of the King. All right, here we go. If I said to you, the 23rd chapter, what would you think in your Bible? Psalms 23. Turn to that, please. I'm going to tear this psalm apart. We're going to be looking at it with a magnifying glass. And it says in the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord. Who's that? The Lord is the power that is. No dark force. It's not the force, but it is the force. It's Almighty God who rules the universe. That's the Lord. In your Bible, if you turn into Daniel, probably about the ninth chapter of Daniel, it talks about the Lord sitting on His throne, and how many is ministering to the Lord? Well, some of you mathematicians, you tell me what 1,000 times 1,000 is. What the Bible says. There's a million beings, every one of them more powerful than any man that ever lived, There's a million beings surrounding and waiting and ministering upon the Lord God Almighty. And around that throne, around that emerald throne and that rainbow and the lightning and the thunders and the sea of glass, around all of that is 100 million set, waiting, watching, participating in the Lord. Now the Lord He's the commander. The Lord is looking for His children who can be commanded. The Lord is not, He's not interested. He don't care. He does care. But He's indifferent to somebody that says, I hear you talking right here, but I ain't inclined to do anything right now. This is the Lord. The Lord is not told no. You don't say maybe tomorrow, maybe when I've got time. The Lord is the Lord. The Lord will be obeyed, and He's gathering together His children. He's gathering together all the powers of righteousness, and they're going to conquer. They're going to rule. The Lord is going to be the head. The Lord's going to be in charge. You take a guy like, in our little Book of Mormon there, a guy like Nephi. Lord come through his through his father Lehi, through a manifestation, told him, he said, we need to go and get the records from Laban. Now, the way I've got that pictured right here is, I'm telling you boys that I want you to go on down to Fort Knox. I want you to go on down there, and I want you to knock on the door, and I want you to say, I want the records. In our case right here, it's just like me going to Fort Knox in Kentucky and saying, I come in here for a few bullion of gold right here. Would you hand it over to me? That's the improbability of getting it. The improbability of asking for the records is just as bad and just as strong of improbability as going to Fort Knox and asking for the gold. But we had, in the form of Nephi, a young man that said, if the Lord commands it, it will be done. If the Lord commands it, He makes a way whereby it will be accomplished. Well, just like we heard this morning right here, there's a whole lot of ideas and a whole lot of commands that God is commanding that we may, if our God is small, if our God is a little thing right here, we can't do it and it can't be done. But we got a big God. And when God says it will be done, when God says we're going to do it, when He says to one of us or all of us, I want you to go forward and accomplish my work, we don't say anything but, I'm going forward. I'm going to do it. I'm on my way. I've already left. It's our God. And that's the Lord right here that we're talking about. The Lord that men have given their lives for. Men like Paul, who have been told and says, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And everybody around him says, Jerusalem, they're going to kill you there, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem. He says, I have been told, and there's nothing that will stop me. And the crying and the heartbreak and the goodbyes was sad. But he went because the Lord said, go. And he went. The Lord is my shepherd. That word is. The Lord is sometimes my shepherd. The Lord was my shepherd. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He is the one who guards me like a father with his young son or his daughter. He's the one right here who's got that big crook right here, and his little boy gets over there to the edge where the precipice is, where he's just about ready to fall. He's just about ready where that den of wolves is right there. He's got this crook. And he gets that crook around the hind leg or around that neck and says, no, I don't want you going over there. Well, that hurt just a little bit. I'm saving you. I'm saving your life. And so the shepherd of our souls, he's the one who is mindful of us. We ask that. Probably most of the kids here, I'd like to think every one of them. I'd like to think everyone in this building right here has been blessed by God. Raised up. Raised up, and Lord, bless this little son, this little daughter. Send your angels round about them. Gather around them. Shelter them. Keep them. Watch over them. And the shepherd does that. That shepherdhood, you can see examples of it in your Bible there. I can see the shepherd gathering Israel together there in Egypt. Gathers them together and he says, "Now, children, something big is going to happen tonight. I want you to gather together. I want you to get into your secret place. I want you to shut your door because I'm coming by. And the shepherd, I will know you. I'll know who you are. Because I can look and see the blood on the lintels of your doorway. And you've heard me, the Lord, speaking. And you heard and you obeyed me, the Lord. And you painted that just like you was told to do. And you did that. And I'm going to hearken and heed that. And the death angel is not going to come by your place. Because I have, and I'm going to keep you as your shepherd. And so come in until the indignation passes by. And then when it passes by, I'm going to gather you again. I'm going to gather you, and we're going to go down south. And we're going to head out of town, and we're heading out of the country. And I've got a place for you. I've got a plan. I've got something that you have not seen. Though the crook in your neck, though sometimes the effort of me trying to keep you together may hurt just a little bit, but I have intents not of evil, but of good. My desire is not hurt and destruction. My desire for you is to save you and to make you part of that great plan and that kingdom that I have ordained that it should be. The shepherd that's our shepherd. Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Elijah, led by the shepherd. Elijah is actually fleeing. And he is fleeing from Jezebel, and she's after him. And she made the promise, she said that if your life is here tomorrow, then my life will be abrupt. And it was. And so he was running, and as he was running, angel caught up with him and says, I want you to settle down. I've got a safety place for you. I've got a hiding place. I've got a little place right here where I'm going to feed you. And there ain't going to be no want. And I have called and I've told the ravens to come to feed you flesh and to bring you sustenance and drink. And they did that. They got up. And as he went up, in fact, as part of that story was, is the angel told him and says, you need to eat again. You need to drink again right here, for the journey is long. The journey is hard. Nobody said that to any of you who baptized here, that the journey was going to be easy. Nobody has ever told that I've ever heard right here, it's a piece of cakewalk. You're going to be fine. There ain't going to be any dips in the road. There's not going to be any potholes. You're going to be able to go from here to there in a straight bead right here, and the gates are going to be opened up, and you're going to go in. Hallelujah. But there's going to be some kinks in the road. There's going to be some potholes. There's going to be some things that are rough. And sometimes, like in the vision that Lehi had right here, sometimes when the being said, follow me, and you follow him, and he gets out of sight. And he's out of sight, and I've lost you. Where are you? And he's still there. You can't see him, but he's still there. But sometimes the going goes rough. And sometimes you're tempted to lose hold of that rod of iron. But you shall not want. When I was growing up, member of my family, and we ate 3 square meals a day. We had apple pie for supper after the meal. We had carpet on our floors, and in my young little life right here, I looked around and said, we're living good. I didn't know that we were living on $120 a month. Thou shalt not want. I want to tell you, I'm hanging on. The promises of God in a darkened day. I'm hanging on to His promises. He laid them out there. And men and women have proved it and have seen indeed He is faithful. And it's going to come to pass. And I'm going to take you through the valley. I'm going to take you through the trail. And you're going to pass through holding on to the rod of iron. And it's going to be dark. And there's going to be people pointing the finger. There's going to be laughter. But you hold on, my daughter, my son. You hold on. And you'll get to the end. And you will not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I tell you, I know that your life is like mine. And I know that green pastures sound good. I know after the buffeting of the enemy, after the uproar of life right here, green pastures sound good. And we sing that song. There's a little song, something that we sing right here is peace, wonderful peace. And I believe that God has for all of us as we struggle on. Had an experience on a mountaintop that all of you heard right here. I won't say much about it. But I was climbing this mountain, and I got back in the cleft of the rock after panting and heaving and cold and wind, and it was scary. I had my little daughter with me, about 3 years old. I had her back in there, and the Lord told me, after we climbed so far and she was frightened, the Lord told me, I've got a cleft in the rock for you. I've got a little place for you. And I got back in that little crack of the rock with my daughter. And the wind was blowing, and the chaos of the world was going on, but we were safe inside there. And the Lord come, and He spoke to me. He says, are you ready to ascend? Are you ready to resume the journey? And we did. And I got there with my little 3-year-old daughter at the very top. She said, Papa, we made it. We made it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. We're living in, if you haven't noticed, my son and some of you medical people have seen it. And I know that you've all seen it. We're living in a world fraught with a big bulk of humanity who are insane. I mean, insanity, right? You know, if I take a big old knife and I start cutting myself, I call that insanity. If I start cutting holes in my body and perforating my ears all up and down right here and sticking rings in my navel right here, and I got big barbells hanging out my tongue right here, I call that insanity. I would like to say that all the chaos in the family, the whacked out behavior of a whole lot of people, because they've lost their soul. And I'm not in the context of what I just said, restores my soul. They are in need of restoration of the soul. They're in need of, when they're going through and their ship is going down, that they have had a terrible car wreck of an experience in their life right here. They need to be restored. Lord, restore my soul. All the chaos of life that the world is seeing, and all the demands of this life, and all the 80-hour weeks, and all the money that just is disappearing, and somebody got hold of it, and somebody has robbed you of it right here, and you got to work some more, and you got to struggle some more, and you got these big mega debts, and you got to pay off these debts, and people are knocking at your door and ringing on your phone and after you and pursuing you, and all of the trouble of life right here need a restoration of our souls. And on this 23rd platform, there's restoration available. There's power and deliverance. There's an answer to the difficulty and the trouble. If we're hanging on the Lord, and the Lord is our shepherd, if He's our shepherd, we can escape what the world is enduring. Just like there in Egypt, God's wrath is coming. God's wrath did come, and it came against the disobedient. It came against those who, it ain't that important to me. Yeah, you know, the bitter herbs, I'm not into bitter herbs. You know, I'm not into unleavened bread. You know, I just don't like closing my door. And I don't, you know, blood, I don't like blood. And they found and they had an encounter with the death angel. They resolved that. But all the believers, all those that had the Lord, they called the Lord. All those that had a shepherd, and a shepherd who can see, and he can understand what is beyond and over there. He can see the trouble. He can see the pitfall. He sees that there's a snare there. You know, there in Proverbs it talks about young men going into trouble, and it likens it to a snare. And said the bird flitting around and happy and tweeting and twittering around and not knowing that there's a snare there ready. A click and a snap away. Or the ox. The ox that the master's got him by the rope right here and says, "Come on, boy, let's go. We're gonna go somewhere." He don't know what it means. He's Hamburger City coming. He's on his way. Gladly, not knowing it. And how many young people listening to their peers, listening to the messed up people, the messed up minds, the influences that are in this world, of the kids that are listening to that, the adults that listen to that stuff, they're listening to that stuff just like that ox. Devil got them by the rope right here. Here we go. We're on our way. It's going to be fun. You can't imagine what is ahead of you. No, he can't. But on the other hand, if the Lord is your shepherd, the Lord is the one you're listening to. You don't listen to that stuff. Nephi, as he's on that straight and narrow path, and that big world right here, big old fancy building right here, and all those rich people, and all those haughty and proud people right here, standing up there, leaning out the windows and heckling and pointing the finger and looking right here. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you call yourself one of those Christians. And what did Nephi say? We heeded them not. Don't heed them. Don't listen to the world. Listen to the shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now here's the shepherd. And the shepherd is leading his children, those that have made God the Lord of their life. And so he's leading them. And so what do they find? He's leading them and they find, I don't understand it right here. We don't have any debt. You know what? He punched me in the ribs right here and said something mean right here, but I don't feel upset. I'm going down here and I had some friends and for some reason they wanted to split and they wanted to get into that fast car right here, and man, it was a rumbling and it was pretty, it was fast, and my friends were in that car, and boy, they were sitting there and they were looking out the window right here and says, "You going to get in or are we going to leave without you?" And for some reason, I didn't want to get in that car. And they took off. And I'm telling you a true story. And they took off and they died. Every one of them killed in that car. That person that listened to the Lord. Listened and they avoided the fate that those that were not wary of the Lord. I'm wary of the wicked one and his plans. And so the paths of righteousness are paths of, if you turn to the fifth chapter of Galatians right here, the paths of righteousness is the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness. You know, I come in here, I saw a bunch of you people right here. That sounds crummy. You lovely brothers and sisters, Hubert. And I saw a whole lot of card passing around. Boy, that's good. I would say, that's a little bit on the path of righteousness. Right behavior. Of doing the right thing. Of blessing one another. Of encouraging each other in the faith. Good stuff. And just like it said, there is love and joy and peace. The world can't buy it. The world can't have it. They don't get it. They'll never get it. But the shepherd's got it. And he loves to give it. And he loves to share it. And I've said this, and I'd love to do this sometime. I'd love to take my own personal poll. I'd love to be able to go in front of thousands of people and ask them individually, "Would you like to be loved?" Yes, yes. Would you like to have joy in your life? Yes, I'd like to have it. Would you like to have peace in your heart and your family? Yes. They'd all say it if they were truthful. They'd all say that. Not on the path that give it, though. There's a path that gives it. The path of righteousness gives it. It's there to be picked. It's there to be consumed and enjoyed and shared. But there's other paths. Paths of unrighteousness. Paths that our Bible in the Book of Mormon says most of the world has found. Big and wide. Big and wide with all of its temptations and all of the things that it offers right here. To do what? To send you to hell. I don't think there's anybody here in this room or anybody that I'd ever say that. Would you like to have a millstone cast around your neck and thrown into the sea? Would you like to be able to go into hell? And in hell, as our scriptures talk about, pretty terrible. If I might just say this just a little bit, the Book of Mormon says, an unending duration of gnawing your tongue and screaming in pain for how long? Forever. That's what the devil's not telling that cow. That's what the devil is not telling young people right here who are easily enticed and led away down to their damnation and destruction. But God's got promises. God the Lord, the shepherd right here, he's got promises. And on his path, and on that path that he has right here, there's joys forevermore. There's right decisions. There is an escape, a deliverance. And God's got that for you. But on that path of unrighteousness, I'd just like to say this. On that path of unrighteousness, you find everything that's wicked, that's detrimental, that's harmful. But there's something on the path of righteousness that you won't find. This is me talking. You won't find a TV on that path of righteousness. And I'm absolutely convinced there's a waking up day coming. And that waking up day for the body of Christ, we've got to make a decision about that. We've got to make a decision about some of the fare that our children, that our families are enduring and seeing and filling their mind with. We've got to make a decision, the friends that we have, the things that we do, the places that we go. The Christian has got to begin making hard decisions. I don't think I can do that. And I'm going to make a decision to do something about it. Paths of righteousness that lead to glory and to honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I know there's some of you who have walked that walk. I've been in it. I was with Becky, and we was on a mission over there in Cherokee, North Carolina. And we were over there, and we were hobnobbing with the Indians, and we got a few brothers and sisters over there. We're there. Been there for usually about 4 or 5 days, Becky. And we're there, and we're going to leave. And we're leaving at night. And as we're about ready to pull out, and where I'm at is I'm going to leave here in the valley, and I'm going to go over the mountain, the Smoky Mountains right here, and come out into Knoxville. And I'm about ready to push off, and a man that's over there said, why don't you come in and look at the weather with me for a few minutes? I said, okay. So I walked in there and looked at the weather and said, the temperature's falling in the upper altitudes of the Smoky Mountains. The temperature hasn't reached 32 degrees, but it's about 35, but we don't know if it's going to drop, if it's going to stay right there. You know, we don't know right here, but that's the prognosis of the road over the Smoky Mountains. So Becky and I kind of looked at each other. I'm still going over the mountain. And we're in our little RV, and I've got it warmed up right here, about to shove off right here. And another man comes in right here and says, well, are you leaving? He says, oh, yeah, we're leaving. How are you leaving? He says, well, I'm going over the Smoky Mountain. Well, he says, do you mind if I get on my little magic phone right here? And I want to see, you know, what the conditions are. So I said, well, about 35 degrees and maybe dropping just a little bit. Upper altitudes there. Okay, all right, well, 35 degrees. Starting to shove off right here. Becky says, I haven't told you something. What was that? Well, I had a dream. And we were driving. And the road, the precipice was right here. And we drove off of it. And we heard the angels singing. Becky, I don't think we're going to go over the top of the mountain. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, have you ever thought of that? We are walking. I declare that we're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We're walking. Some of us are afraid. Some of us are not so afraid. But it says right here, David, as he's talking, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's my own little tiny view of it right here, but the Lord has not left us alone. The Lord hadn't left us without comfort, without support. What does the Bible say there? He says, the Lord doeth nothing unless he revealeth unto his servants the prophets. The Lord doesn't do anything unless I'm telling my family. I'm telling my children. I'm letting you have some heads up. The world does not have that. The world can't get it. And there's going to be all kind of stuff going on that's going to begin happening. In my humble opinion, I believe it's on the track coming down like a freight train at us. And as that's coming down right here, the world is clueless as to what's about to happen. A whole lot of young people right here, all they got is, and I'm sorry, but all they got is some kind of video, or they got some kind of a text message, they got something on their brain right here, and they need to get the Lord on their brain and their heart. They need to get with where the Lord has got a means of safety, of deliverance, of wisdom. You can make a good choice. And you can decide, I'm choosing death or I'm choosing life. And as for me, I'm choosing life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, I think Phoenix, Arizona, right here, this local, I don't know your neighbors. I bet I would be safe to say that there's a whole bunch of people around this place that hate your beings, that dislike this little church. That there may be little thoughts of, you know, we need to do something about that. You know, that happened back in our history of the church. Is the people got to putting their hands together right here, and they found a way to get rid of those Mormons. Church of Christ. I look at Israel today, and I want to tell you, and I believe this, Israel is wicked, just like America. America is wicked. Wicked nations don't last before God. Wicked people don't survive before God. We have here the holy decree that when you get to a certain level, when that temperature rises to 110, whatever that level is, that there is going to be a squash happening. There's going to be a rubbing out. There's going to be a sweeping away. There's going to be a cleansing. Because God does not like dying little babies. God doesn't like people killing one another. God doesn't like fornication and adultery. He doesn't like it. And he's going to put a stop to it. He's going to deal with it. And so here's the nation of Israel. Like I said, Israel is not righteous. But Israel still has the power of God of preservation on Israel. And I see Israel surrounded by 300 million cutthroat Arabs who want to kill them, every one of them. Little nation of Israel right here, is they are at this table. And they're feasting and dining. I'm just using my own terminology right here. While there's 300 million around here. What does that tell me? If God before you, what is the rest of the scripture? Who can be against you? Oh, I love that. God is for me. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can endure the trials and the temptations and the mockery. The table is set, and I'm don't have any lack. I'm taken care of. And God's going to do His will with His children all the way to the end. We don't fully know just exactly what He's got on an individual basis, but we got promises, and those promises are for the believers. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My head with oil. If you remember, I think it's in Psalms. And it refers to Aaron's ordination. And it says in there, the previous verse, it says how wonderful and how good it is for brethren to meet together in unity. Then the next verse it says, it's like when brethren are in agreement, when the brothers are loving each other, when they're sharing the Christmas cards as it is, when they're doing this, it's like the holy oil, it says. And I can just see that. I can see God. He don't take a little drop. I'm not trying to be critical right here. But he don't take a little drop right here. What God says, I get it by the gallon. I want to pour it on you. I want to anoint you the anointing of blessing from God. I want to, and it says it's just like the holy oil dripping down his head and his face and down his beard and down his vestments all the way to the bottom, right? It's like that. God saying this is, I want to pour the holy oil of my blessing upon your life. I want to let you feel my love. How much I love you and I want to bless you and take care of you. In the presence of mine enemies, now anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. You have that expression, we have it today. It says, surely that wouldn't happen. Or surely it must happen. And he's saying, surely goodness and mercy. God's got an ocean of it. God's is filled to the brim. It's wanting to overflow from that throne room where he's at. He wants to pour on you, Mark. He wants to bless you. And surely goodness and mercy. That's who the Lord is. He's not an evil being. He's not a God who's ruthless and delights in destroying people and rubbing them out. Full of goodness and mercy. And we need that in this day we're living in. We need that. We were just talking here at the table here a couple of hours ago. That time coming where we may have to get together. That time coming for which I'm hungry. And I got two loaves of bread and I feel like eating both of them up. The Lord said, no, you're not eating both of them up. If he's my Lord, what is he going to say? You're going to share that. This path of righteousness that we find the goodness and mercy is that we have shown mercy. Well, I don't like her. I don't like what she did. Goodness and mercy is, I love you. I bless you. Here's my hand of fellowship. Here's my arm of hugship. Here's my willingness to walk this path with you. Goodness. Not worldliness, not wickedness, not shadiness, not staleness, not stinkiness, but goodness that's only found in the path of righteousness, found aplenty in the household of faith. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. No, I don't get it. I don't deserve it. You may say this. I know I've said it. I don't deserve one of the least of the blessings of God, but goodness and mercy. Fill me up. Follow me. Pour itself on me. Why? Because God is merciful and he's love. That's who he is. The devil wants to paint a different picture. He wants to distort and twist and convolute and confuse. But God wants the plain road and the high road. And he's calling his children to walk up higher. I had a friend of mine told me that years ago. We're talking, and he says something. And I And we continued our conversation, and bloop, says something else. And I couldn't understand really what he was saying. And I said, what are you saying? He says, come up higher, my son. I've never forgot that. Come up higher, my children. The Lord's calling us higher. What does he say about the Pharisees? In the Bible right here, he says something. You guys, can you hear me? And what he says in the Bible right here, he says that our righteousness has got to exceed the righteousness of who? The Pharisees. Our righteousness has got to come higher than them. If it don't come up higher, he's got a level, he's got a bar, he knows what it is right here. We know what it is. And we've got to come up higher. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely it will. Heard somebody, and boy, they were gushing out the horror of their life. And boy, this suicide here, and this killing here, and this infidelity here, and all this pain and this heartache here, and all this depression and insanity and institutionalism and all that stuff right here. And I'm listening to this person. I said, boy, that's not what I hear from some of my lovely brothers and sisters. What I hear is God's good. Well, God took care of me. God saved me in this terrible accident. You know him, Adam. Was it Adam? Connor. Was it Connor? He's telling us there in Manchester, you know who I'm talking about. Is it Connor, the one that had the accident? He had this terrible accident. He was in an unfamiliar road. And he has this terrible accident, and he's driving. And he's broadsided right there where he's sitting. Caved in the car right here, all the way in halfway through the car right here. And he got out with barely a scratch. Well, that's what I hear. The circles that I hobnob with. I'm talking to people right here and said, boy, I tell you what, you know, Lord blessed us. I mean, we didn't have anything. It's just like this, if you ever read that book, Charles Spurgeon, about the goodness and mercy and the generosity of God. He had an orphanage. And in this orphanage right here, he had it full of kids. And he said, those kids did not know. Not a one of them knew that there is no food in this orphanage. There's no food here. And every one of those kids are sitting down with his empty plate and his cup and his spoon right here. And they're sitting there in full expectation of being fed. And he's praying to Almighty God, Lord, have mercy. They don't know there's no food in here. Is there any mercy? Is there any goodness? Big old lumberjack, kind of a milkman standing there. And he's got half-filled tanks of milk right here. And he's got stacks of bread right here. He's coming in there. He said, I just drove my truck off the road right here. And I ruined my milk and my bread right here. You got any need for that? Bring it in. Say the prayer. God is full of mercy. He takes care of his children. It's not a fantasy. It's not something that, oh yeah, maybe so. It's a reality. It happens. It really happens to people who are on the path of righteousness. And so, surely goodness and mercy, surely it does. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, pursue me, go before me, around me, the hand of blessing on me, on you. Those that have yielded themselves to the shepherd. You know that this prepared a table right here, God taking care of us. It's kind of like paying tithing. Here's how I look at it. I'm going to be more wealthy. I'm going to be better off. I am going to do very well, thank you, very fine. My $9 will exceed the world's $10. I believe that my $9 is bigger than $10 after I paid my tenth of my tithing. And anybody who has proved that, as the Bible says in Malachi, prove me herewith that I'll not pour you out the windows of heaven such a blessing that it can't be contained. Prove me herewith that these things here and these promises that God has given to His children, right? Prove me! And you're going to discover and you're going to see it's right down on the money. Just exactly what He said. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now my little funny way of looking things right here. I will come to church for all of my life. I am going to occupy a seat in my local, my church, my congregation. I'm going to do that. Commitment all of my life. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to believe this. And henceforth and forever, yet before me, is the house of the Lord in His grand place. And I'll dwell with Him forever. What a promise. Bible says, Brother Kidd used to say, he said, the Bible says that I hath not heard, nor I hath not seen, nor ear heard what God hath prepared for those that love Him. So if you think that you know what it looks like, you're wrong, because eyes never seen it. And ears never heard it. But we know it is special. Beyond what our capability is to understand. The joys forevermore. Shall we continue on. Hanging on faithful. Not giving in to the six lies that the world has fallen for. From the Garden of Eden until now. We're not going to fall for them. But we're going to be in the path of righteousness. And we're going to trust the King. And the King is the reason for the season, and He is the one that we worship here today. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.